Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to have you all with us. We took off last weekend. What did we do last week? This is our 30th anniversary month. And so we have a tendency to just run off and do crazy things. We ended up in Las Vegas for one night. Just kind of spur of the moment thing. I'll get to some of that because Las Vegas was interesting. But I want to start with in Los Angeles County, California, where late last Monday, about 40 cows broke out of a slaughterhouse and stampeded down a street in Pico Rivera. They were chewing on people's lawns and they were even charging at the police who were trying to corral them. Unfortunately, an L.A. County Sheriff's deputy had to shoot one cow after it charged a family of four human beings. At last check, all the cows had been recaptured except one. As far as we know, one cow remains on the run. That was last time we checked in midweek. And so I like a good steak and a good burger as much as the next guy. Don't get me wrong. But I just like to see a story where cows break out of a slaughterhouse just because that's cool. I kind of rooting for the cows to get away is what I was in the midst of all that while still craving a good steak. So try to reconcile that one if you're a leftist. You lose your mind. That's why the left loses their mind. All right. Speaking of the left losing their mind, let's go to Gavin Newsom, into the widespread tyranny file, where FreedomFirstNetwork.com reports that Gavin Newsom is finally allowing Californians to go back to business as usual. No more mask mandates, no more capacity limits, no more restrictions. Almost. Kind of almost. Normal is now going to be defined by Gavin Newsom as normal if you've been vaccinated. That's right. That's the catch with Gavin Newsom. You can behave normally, but you have to have been vaccinated. Yes, yes. And Freedom First Network warns us that this is actually worse than the lockdowns. Why? Well, because we are moving from governmental overt warfare into subversive psychological warfare. Gavin Newsom is going to use your vaccinated friends and family against you until you comply. Gavin Newsom is assuming that you can only withstand the peer pressure for so long. Yes. California, according to Freedom First Network, is not moving back to freedom, but into an even more sinister plot to get you to take the jab, using your loved ones against you. This reminds me of a conversation I had with a business owner back in Colorado who told me, "Don't worry, Doug, we're all going to go back to normal soon." And I told her, "You are wrong. And I hope I'm wrong, but I think you're wrong." And indeed, I have been proven correct because the redefining of normal is what has occurred. And now, and by the way, I'm going to visit her business next month. I'm not going to announce myself, and I guarantee you when I walk in there, all of her vaccinated employees will be wearing masks. I guarantee it. And she's going to tell me that's normal, and I'm going to dispute that gently with her and let her know that this is not normal. This is delusional insanity, but if you want to convince yourself that it's normal, then you can go ahead and be delusional and insane, but I am not going to call that normal. So I had a conversation with a colleague of mine who confessed to me that he got the vaccination because of peer pressure from his family. I had to bite my tongue. because what I wanted to say to him was, I've lost all respect for you as a man. That you would undergo a medical treatment because of peer pressure should be so embarrassing that you never admit it to another human being. That's one of the things you take to your grave. That's one of the failures of courage that you hope nobody ever finds out about it. Yet my colleague announced this to me. Perhaps expecting some sort of sympathy from me. But I do not sympathize. I think it's pathetic and cowardly, and it's one of the reasons we've lost the nation to the subversives and the deviants and the queers and the perverts and all the rest and the communists. That's why we've lost the country, is because the men no longer have any courage. There is a significant failure of moral courage amongst the men in America. And Gavin Newsom is just one of the extraordinarily ambitious tyrants exploiting that enormous lack of moral courage amongst the men of America. So from Gavin and the divining of the vaccinated, how exactly are they going to do that? How are they going to create the caste system in which I am relegated to the unvaxxed, and my colleague who gave in to peer pressure to get a vaccine he didn't want, he is now elevated into the stature of the vaccinated? How exactly is that going to be divined? You know, these politicians and the people are all assuming that they have powers that they simply do not have. No one has the ability to divine whether or not I've been vaccinated. And by the way, I have been vaccinated. And let's just leave it at that. But the people somehow assume that the government has the ability and the authority to divine who's been vaccinated. Just like at the beginning of the lockdown, so many of my friends assume that the government had the authority to lock them in their houses. Until I told them, well, just go out. What if you just get in your car and go to work? Anyway, for us to assume that they're actually going to be able to enforce this vaccinated versus unvaccinated, I'll get back to that when we go to Vegas, but that's going to be later because I want to go to the Bizarre Theater File where the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which I've always liked the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I always thought it was a noble endeavor to grant terminally ill children their wish. You want to go on a hot air balloon ride, you want to go visit Paris, whatever the wish was. The Make-A-Wish Foundation would make it happen for the terminally ill children. Well, now, according to the CEO, Richard Davis, the CEO of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, here is the press release. As quoted from CEO Richard Davis, based on guidance from doctors and the Centers for Disease Control and the American Academy of Pediatrics, all WISH participants, including siblings and family of the recipient, will need to be at least 2 weeks past their second vaccination. So the Make-A-Wish Foundation is insisting that terminally ill children get vaccinated before they can get their wish. Wow. So tell me we have not descended and plumbed the depths of the theater of the bizarre with this. But there is a caveat. This isn't real. Why? Because it can't be real. Because it's what's the word I'm looking for? It's absurd. This is the theater of the absurd, is where we are right now. We are where the witch doctors of the Dark Ages were. The dentists who did the leeches and the bleeding. That's where we are. The bloodletting. Yeah. The theater of the absurd. How do I know this? Because the charity also said, after their CEO lisped out his pathetic, effeminate, cowardly, bizarre, absurd statement on requiring terminally ill children to be vaccinated. By the way, the CEO of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, he's not a medical doctor, and he hasn't actually examined any of the children getting their wish granted. And so for him to recommend a medication to them is actually against the law. Not only is it against the law, it's immoral. It's immoral for some schmuckatelli running a foundation to recommend a medical treatment for any other human being. It's immoral and it's illegal and it's criminally punishable, by the way. Or at least it used to be before we entered into the theater of the absurd, where the CEO of the Make-A-Wish Foundation takes center stage as the chief ringleader. How do I know this is not real and it's all just absurd theater? Because the charity said it will not require proof of vaccination, but it will make adults sign a waiver stating that they are vaccinated. Meaning, okay, this is all just fake, phony, stupid theater. But we're going to play along right up until we murder 100 million people. That's where we're headed, folks. I'm sorry to say that, and I don't want to shock or offend anyone. But when you get the relatively intelligent people, or at least people who are perceived to be the smart people, to do stupid things over and over and over, that leads to the murder of 100 million people. That's on the low end. This is America. America, we as Americans have proven ourselves to be the most efficient killing machine in the history of humanity when we are motivated. And we are being motivated right now in the worst possible way. Our children are being motivated to hate each other based on their race. The lemmings amongst the adult population are being motivated to separate themselves from others based on the status of a medical treatment. Talk about theater of the absurd. But the theater of the absurd is a dangerous place to be. Because when you sit back and think about killing another human being in order to solve your problems or to make you feel better, that seems absurd on its face. That you would even consider murdering another human being to solve your problem or to feel better. It's just absurd. Until you descend into absurdity. And then the absurd becomes reality. And that's where we are. Here's how absurd it is. From the Cultural Devolution file, last week, the Centers for Disease Control announced they would have an emergency meeting on post-vaccination heart inflammation. It was an emergency meeting. Why? Because young people are getting sick and dying from this vaccine. That's why it's an emergency, and it is an emergency. Especially because the cult of COVID is insisting that everyone get the vaccine. 12-year-olds, 2-year-olds, everybody. You and your mother and your sister and your brother and everybody. And if you don't get it, you're a bad person. So myocarditis rates are observed outside of anything that would ever be considered tolerable for any other vaccination. This vaccine would have been pulled off the market. So the CDC says we have to have an emergency meeting. It's an emergency. We've got heart inflammation. Wait. But we're going to reschedule the emergency meeting because of Juneteenth. Now, the emergency meeting was set for June 18th. Juneteenth is June 19th. But the emergency meeting had to be delayed so that we could observe Juneteenth. You see, because Juneteenth fell on a Saturday, we're going to observe it on Friday, which is the 18th, which means the emergency with the heart inflammation and the children dying, it's not really that much of an emergency. What's more of an emergency is observing Juneteenth, which, by the way, the name of Juneteenth officially is Juneteenth National Independence Day holiday. So this is the theater of the absurd, where we reschedule an emergency meeting to observe something that happened 170 years ago. The meeting was deemed an emergency when it was announced, The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention did not immediately respond to a request for comments, nor did they later either, because this is all absurd. It's not real, but absurdity could certainly become reality. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I was on an airplane, as I oft have want to be during the COVID pandemic that was so threatening for everyone. I've been on close to 60 airline flights since the dawn of the terrifying pandemic. And I never got it, unfortunately. Wish I'd have got it and got over it. But anyway, I'm on an airplane on Southwest, where just a couple of weeks ago, a passenger finally had enough and just punched a stewardess in the face over the masks. Why? More than likely because the stewardess deserved to be punched in the face over the... Someone deserves to be punched in the face over the masks. And finally it happened. Some Nazi... Anyway, so the captain of the flight I was on gave a very a very carefully crafted speech about how, listen, folks, we all have to follow this mask mandate just like you do. We did not wake up this morning trying to think of how we could make the people who pay our salaries as miserable as possible. We're just going along to get along, and we need you to go along to get along just the same. And anyway, he's just trying to avoid one of his crew members being punched in the face. But one thing I did notice that has changed since the stewardess was punched in the face is that the stewardesses no longer walk up and down the aisle enforcing the mask mandate. Corporal punishment works. So it used to be that the mask Nazis would literally walk up and down the aisle, and if you didn't have a peanut in your mouth, they would tell you to put the mask up over your nose. I'm not exaggerating either. But since the punch in the face, that's all stopped. So anyway, he gives this speech about how all of this. And so I tried to be the last person off the plane because I wanted to have words with the captain. But I wasn't able to. I wasn't able to be the last person off the plane because there were other people on the plane lazier than I am. Just sitting in the back of the plane playing a video game after everybody's off the plane. I'm looking at this fat guy, and I'm like, why don't you get off the plane? He wasn't moving. So I had to get off. It was probably better that I didn't have words with the captain because I don't want to get myself banned from flying, although I'm not above that. I'm not beyond that. That could happen. That could happen. But what I wanted to say to the captain was similar to something I said last week. And things that that people have utterly forgotten in a moment since the pandemic. It's as if people of authority have utterly abandoned their responsibility for their authority all in a moment and completely. Captains. So did you people know that when a ship or an aircraft goes out into the sea or up into the air, did you know that the captain becomes the executive authority of that craft? It's as if he's the president of the United States. It's as if he's the king. The captain has executive authority, and not only executive authority, he has executive responsibility for the safety of everyone on his craft. But instead of the captain of the aircraft assuming the authority that he's been endowed with since the beginning of history, they've abandoned that to one doctor in Washington, D.C. So the captain of the aircraft, who's responsible for the health of his passengers, allows 80 and 90-year-old people to wear a filthy rag over their face for an hour or two or three or six, recirculating bacterium and all kinds of other pathogens into their lungs. Not good for their health. Not good for their safety. Well, the captain was responsible for the safety. And what I wanted to say to the captain of the plane was, you know, I appreciate the fact that you want to keep the peace and you don't want us beating your tyrannical stewardesses. I appreciate that. But you, captain, have abandoned your responsibility for the care of the safety of your passengers. And you've abdicated it to a doctor in Washington, D.C. who has no authority to take that from you. This aircraft is yours when you are in the air. And you should be ashamed of yourself for abdicating the responsibility that we all entrusted to you when we made you a captain. All right, so hopefully someone from Southwest Airlines will listen to this podcast and send it out to their fellow pilots. Nobody has the authority to tell your passengers what they must or must not do once the wheels are up. Take back your authority. Stop. And you know what? What else I'm sick of hearing is that, well, you know, I want to keep my job. Oh, you want to keep your job? Like you've never lost a job? Is that the end of the world that you lose your job? You're an airline pilot. You obviously have the ability to do like things that nobody else can do. Your skill level is obviously orders of magnitude beyond the average Joe out there. So you would lose your job as an airline pilot, and then what? You would starve in the gutter? Huh? I've lost jobs before. And you know what? Usually when I lose a job, I'm going back and I'm thinking, oh, I've always done better. Not just maybe I could do better. I've always done better. So if you lost your job because you wouldn't comply with idiocy when you knew it was idiocy, for those of you who are deluded and actually believe in all this garbage, well, God bless you. I can't help you. But for those of you who are knowingly going along with this just to keep your job, you should be ashamed of yourselves. You should be willing to lose a job. How big of a deal is it to lose a job? Oh, but Doug, nobody will hire me. That's not true. You just don't know. You don't have the courage to go out and find out. Instead, you're cowering, scared that you'll lose your job. Oh, I'll lose my job. You're pathetic. You're a pathetic coward. That's all. And cut it out. You might find out that there's people out there who would hire you for more money based on the fact that you're willing to stand up like a man. All right. I'm going to go back into, now we go into the mask hysteria file, appropriately enough, where Town Hall reports, as we burn our masks, the experts are plotting a new scheme to make us keep wearing them. Why? The flu. Oh, here it comes. The flu, which disappeared, by the way, all respiratory issues in 2020 vanished, except COVID, right? So anyway, here's Town Hall says, according to infectious disease doctors, the return of facial freedom might come with a resurgence in cases of the common cold and the flu. That's right. A study published in September in the CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report revealed a staggering 98% decrease in flu activity in the first months of the pandemic. What, during the pandemic? Uh-huh. Why did the flu drop 98%? Well, the idiots who write this article assume it's because we were all wearing masks. I'm serious. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, there was no cold and no flu because we called everything COVID. That's why. It's not because we were wearing masks, but the geniuses at Town Hall, they've abandoned all medical knowledge we've accumulated for the last century and a half has been abandoned at the altar of COVID. Dr. Joshua Barakas, who is this guy? He's an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center, which used to be impressive, not so much anymore. He says most of us in infectious disease really attributed that drop to masks. That's why, yeah. and all of the other measures that were in place, the mitigation, you know, all of that, the social distancing. So that's what the infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center says. While most of us with common sense and the ability to think, we realize that we know that all that is hogwash. It wasn't the mask. It wasn't the social distancing. We have clinical studies that prove none of that meant anything. It was because you decided to call everything COVID, every hangnail, every hiccup, every cough, every burp. Everyone who got sick had COVID. That's why all the other diseases went away, you morons. We have dozens of clinical studies of masks before they were political that prove they don't help against respiratory viruses like the flu and the cold. And we all knew that as common sense until we just collectively abandoned all of our common sense and decided to get hysterical, panicked, and superstitious. So we know that Dr. Joshua Barakas shouldn't touch anyone with a butter knife ever because he's a Dark Ages shaman, a superstitious witch doctor is what he is. So last Thursday, the CDC issued a health advisory about a respiratory, about the respiratory syncytial, syncytial syncytial virus, the RSV. Basically, it's a cold-like respiratory virus that they're very worried about now. Why? Because it gives them power to scare the hell out of you and control your life. That's why they're worried about it. They want you to be worried about it. Why? So they can turn that knob and control you. Turn civilization and business and commerce on and off at their will. Why? Because they're tyrannical, evil people. So they're scared of RSV. They say it can cause severe illness in older adults or young children. No way. A virus that can cause severe illness? I've never heard of that before. That's terrifying. I need to be scared. Tell me what to do, Dr. Fauci. What should I do? I'm so scared. It's unbelievable. People are unbelievable sheep. It's unbelievable. Anyway, Kate, since the masks have started to come off, March of this year, RSV cases have been on the rise. Oh, no. What are we going to do? RSV's on the rise. It's scary. It could make you sick. So if it's going to make you sick, we need to stop everything. And we need to act like a bunch of petrified children, terrified of the boogeyman. Well, we'll see. So this is the plan for the fall, ladies and gentlemen. The plan for the fall, if they don't decide to just change the guidance and start detecting COVID again, that might be, that saw may have worn out. They may not be able to do that again. But they're going to scare everybody with the flu, and they're going to remind us that the flu kills people. And not just old, fat, sick people. It kills young, healthy babies. The flu does, yes. And that's just too scary. We can't have that. So we have to lock down again in the fall. And we'll see if the sheep will obey in the fall. When Fauci and the tyrants lock us down again. My guess is they will. That's my guess is that most of the governors will want that power again, and they'll do it again, and most of the people will go along. But there are going to be a couple of states that just say, no, we're not going to play. And then what are the medical tyrants to do when the governor of Texas, the governor of Florida, the governor of North Dakota, or is it South Dakota? I forget where she's from. What, the Dakotas? What are they going to do when these governors stand up and say, no, we're not going to play? No, we're not going to lock down. And you go ahead and call me a murderer and go ahead and put a chart up on the screen that tells how many people I'm killing every minute. Go ahead. I don't care anymore. We're not going to play. So what's going to happen? Is the federal government going to send troops to enforce the lockdowns on the states that don't lock down? Right? It seems absurd that it could come to that, right? It's just absurd, Doug. You're crazy. It could never come to the point where we'd actually start killing each other over medical tyranny because, I mean, this is after all about how much we care about each other and how much concern I have for your health and your safety. We care a lot. It's the Weekly Wolf View. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Thank you for hanging in. I've got the blood bank, so I'm going to go to the blood bank. Actually, I want to go to the blood bank, but I'll not be able to go to the blood bank. I got an email. Well, first of all, let me go back 3 months in time when I got an email from the blood bank thanking me for saving 20 lives. Why did they thank me for saving 20 lives? Because of statistics. Statistically speaking, it is accurate to say that my blood donations over the past year and a half have saved 20 people who would have died had they not gotten my blood. I mean, is it actually true? Maybe, maybe not. But statistically, it's accurate to say that I saved 20 people's lives. And so they gave me a t-shirt. It's really awesome. Like, I needed that, right? I need that affirmation. I gave blood because, I don't know, I never gave blood before, and when COVID happened, I was looking for reasons to leave the house, and that was one, and so I started giving blood, and then I thought, you know what, this is helpful for society, so I'm giving blood, not because I want affirmation or a t-shirt, or I don't need a tattoo to remind me that I'm, but I'm just, and so anyway, they I got my award and my t-shirt, I saved 20 people's lives. Well, then I got an email last week from the blood bank saying that despite CDC guidance and despite the fact that all of our staff has been vaccinated and despite the fact that you've probably been vaccinated too, we are going to continue wearing masks at the blood bank. Why? Because we're medical professionals. And medical professionals, for whatever reason, have decided to devolve the deepest into the depths of Dark Ages superstition around the masks. Why? Well, we're medical professionals. And, you know, Western medicine is built on superstition. So, folks, what I've noticed since the mask mandates have been repealed in the states in which I've been, which is a number of them, is that the medical offices won't stop with the masks. I went to the dentist, and the staff is all wearing masks, even though my dentist, last time I saw my dentist, he actually ripped his mask off and said, "It's going to end soon, Doug. We're almost there." He was all excited. But his staff, they can't stop. Why? Because, well, they're medical professionals. So anyway, I wrote an email when the blood bank said you have to wear the mask. I wrote them back an email and I said, "Until you ascend from your descent into Dark Ages superstition around your masks, I am not going to come and give blood. And people are going to die. How do I know that? You just sent me an email telling me the lives I had saved. Well, I'm going to stop saving them now because of you. I'm not going to further entertain your delusional, hysterical, superstitious behavior. You need to stop it. Because of what you're doing, people are going to die. And your medical professionals. And you're contributing directly to the negative health impacts and even deaths of your own patients and other people. You should all be ashamed of yourselves. So I will not be giving blood there. If I can find some other place that'll allow me to give blood without putting a mask on, like I'm in the 14th century, then I'll do it. If not, well, people are just going to die, and it's not my fault. It's the hysterical cowards who are destroying the world. So we go from there into the mask hysteria file, deeper into the mask hysteria file, where a laboratory analysis of several used masks worn by children have revealed, well, some startling but frankly predictable things. So samples of children's masks were sent by Florida parents to the University of Florida's mass spectrometry. Whoa. Mass Spectrometry Research and Education Center. One of the parents who coordinated the experiment said that she decided to do it because her son had developed a giant rash on his face. That's a red flag. Gee, a giant rash on your face after putting a filthy piece of cloth on your face for hours at a time? That's not predictable that could happen. Anyway, a dermatologist finally determined that it was a fungal infection. And it was to blame, what he blamed it on was the moisture and the mask. Gee, imagine that. Putting a wet, dirty cloth on your face all day could give you a fungal infection. Shocking. I'm surprised this dermatologist had the good sense to even recognize it. What did he do? Try to cast out evil spirits? Did he rub chicken feathers on it? Anyway, so the mom decides, okay, I want to find out what's going on with these masks. And a number of other parents, they organize it on social media. They all send their masks down to the lab. And reports from the lab found multiple quite dangerous bacteria samples. Among them, Streptococcus pneumoniae, Mycobacterium tuberculosis, Staphylococcus aureus, and numerous others. Noting the presence of Neisseria meningitis. I can't even pronounce it. Meningitis. So basically, the bacteria that causes meningitis was present in the masks. The technicians wrote that the bacterium causes meningitis and life-threatening sepsis. While other Staphylococcus pyogenes serotype M3 strep can result in a severe invasive infection. If you've ever had strep throat, you know what this is all about, right? It's really serious. And if you're sick, it can kill you. And if you're young, it can affect you for life. The director of the University of Florida lab that produced the actual data declined to comment, but she did confirm that the reports were written directly by lab technicians, not witch doctors. Actual lab technicians who haven't abandoned all common sense. And they said, look, these masks are filthy and there's dangerous bacteria in them. And you, Captain, and you, Doctor, who have allowed a tyrant in Washington, D.C. to threaten the health of your patients by insisting that they put a filthy piece of cloth over their face all day, you are responsible, Captain. You are responsible, Doctor. You should be held accountable here on Earth. You will be held accountable in eternity for what you've done. The cowardice that you have exhibited in the face of the threat of a public health crisis. It was never a public health crisis, by the way. It was just the mere threat of a public health crisis, and you all lost your testicles all at once. You'd be ashamed of yourselves. All right, now, I'm going to go to the 10% file. Why do I call this the 10% file? Because if even 10% of what I'm about to read to you comes to pass, then this will prove to be the most catastrophic public health event in human history. What we've all just been through, what we're all sort of still going through. Robert Malone, creator of the mRNA vaccine technology, joined evolutionary biologist Brett Brownstein, PhD, on a podcast called The Dark Horse to discuss safety concerns related to the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. They talked about, this is from the NOQ report, which I highly recommend, by the way. It's great to a source for unbiased, real news. Actually, it's biased toward the truth, which is, I actually appreciate that bias. They talked about implications of a Japanese biodistribution study on the Pfizer vaccine. And they also talked about the lack of proper animal studies and the theory that mass vaccinations with mRNA vaccines could produce ever more transmissible and potentially deadly variants. This is from the inventor of the mRNA technology. He's standing athwart history saying, stop, wait a second. The guy who invented it is concerned. And the main source of his concern is this Japanese biodistribution study, which, by the way, was hidden from the public. So the Japanese did a study on the biodistribution of the particulates in the vaccine. And that study was hidden. It was only uncovered because of a Freedom of Information request and some bureaucrat let it out. But it was hidden. The public was led to believe that the spike protein produced by the mRNA vaccine stayed in the shoulder muscle just like all other vaccines. Well, the Japanese study proved that that's not true. In fact, regulators around the world had a copy of the study that showed otherwise, that the particulates of the spike protein and the particulates of the vaccine distribute throughout the entire body, which other vaccines don't do that. Is it bad? Well, we don't know. It's not supposed to be that way. The people who invented the vaccine, the people who produced the vaccine, said it wouldn't happen. They said that the that the reaction, the foreign body response, and all of that that happens with vaccines would stay in the shoulder like it does with other vaccines. Well, now we have a study that proves that's not true. The biodistribution study showed lipid nanoparticles did not stay in the muscle where they were injected, but circulated throughout the body and, alarmingly, accumulated in large concentrations in various organs and tissues, including the spleen, bone marrow, liver, adrenal glands, and quite high concentrations in the ovaries. That was unexpected. The ovaries. Anyway, according to Dr. Malone, the creator of the technology, he says if you find lipid nanoparticles in an organ, that tells you the drug got to that location. Lipid nanoparticles were found in the whole blood circulating throughout the body within 4 days, according to the Japanese study. Malone says there needed to be monitoring for leukemia and lymphomas because the nanoparticles accumulate in the bone marrow and the lymph nodes. Animal studies would have shown us this, that this was a possibility. Had there been the normal process of creating a vaccine, testing a vaccine, the animal studies would have shown us that this was a distinct possibility and something to be concerned about. But there were no animal studies. There were no long-term clinical trials for these experimental vaccines. He said that leukemia and lymphomas related to this may not show up for 6 months to a decade. We may not know the full implications of what we've just done to half the population for 10 years. Serious health risks associated with this vaccine may not be realized for months and even years down the road. Usually signals like this are picked up in animal and long-term trials, but these did not happen, says Dr. Malone. Many scientists tried to warn the FDA about the dangers of the free spike protein that the mRNA vaccines produced. Malone suggested autoimmune issues may be related to free circulating spike protein, to the free circulating spike protein, which developers assured us would not happen. To pick up autoimmune issues, a 2 to 3 year follow-up period in phase 3 patients would be required, and that didn't happen with the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccines. So those of you who are feeling pressure from your family and friends to get this vaccine and you're going along with it because of that, you've lost your mind. How could you possibly? What are we, in seventh grade? Is the whole world in high school still? Earlier this year, Van den Bosch put out a call to the World Health Organization. By the way, Van den Bosch is a vaccinologist who worked at GSK, Novartis. It worked for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. This isn't a crazy right-winger in his mom's basement with a tinfoil hat. This is a world-class vaccinologist, and earlier this year, he put out a call to the WHO describing the uncontrollable monster that global mass vaccination campaigns could potentially unleash. Now, the saving grace there is that Van den Bosch is an evolutionist, and he believes in Darwinian evolution, and that's what he's scared of. So because his theory is based on Darwinian evolution, I'm not so very much concerned about mass vaccination creating a monster virus. I'm not worried about that. Because I'm a creationist, I know that viruses tend to start out being very virulent, and because of mutations, they don't become more virulent. They become less virulent. And there's no magic that's going to add information to the virus and make it more virulent. So I'm not afraid of all that. And I just want to make that clear. But what I am afraid of is an experimental vaccine that we don't know anything about that everyone's being pressured to take. And what is that going to mean down the road? I mean, if even 10% of what we just read in regards to the free spike protein and its threat to our health and our organs and the ovaries, it's terrifying. If 10% of this comes to pass, this will surpass the lockdowns and the filthy masks as the greatest episode of medical malpractice in history. Dirty deeds, dirty deeds, dirty deeds. Review, and I am your host, joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer. Thank you for that, my extremely attractive audio engineer. I got another friend who has to go visit a neurologist. A neurologist, they specialize in the nervous system. Neurologist, and the brain, right? And my friend's neurologist is telling him to get the vaccine. And my friend is quite concerned about what to do. My neurologist is telling me to get the vaccine. Should I get the vaccine? I said, well, stop and think about this. Has your neurologist actually examined you for your potential risk to a respiratory infection? No, my neurologist has not examined me in that regards. And I said, so what you need to tell your neurologist is stop recommending medications that you're not qualified to recommend for an examination that you never did. That's called malpractice, and I'm going to sue you. So stop it. I'm going to sue you for malpractice, which is what would happen in a sane world when you've got neurologists recommending respiratory vaccination against the respiratory. It's just all insanity. And the fact that what I don't understand, all right, I'm not even going to say that because I just you know, I really don't think I'm smarter than most people. I think most people are at least as smart or smarter than I am. And I'm astonished that they don't see all this clearly. I don't understand that. When a neurologist is recommending, okay, does that not immediately strike you as odd? Or something that you really shouldn't concern yourself with? Your neurologist is just giving in to the same social and political pressure that all of his colleagues who've descended into Dark Ages level superstition that they're all giving into. And I hope that at some point we all get a collective slap across the face and we wake the hell up, because this is bizarre. It's absurd. And it should not continue. Now, it's from the widespread cowardice file. Critical race theory is the latest political infestation at the American Medical Association. On May 11th, the AMA released a white paper entitled, listen to this, Organizational Strategic Plan to Embed Racial Justice and Advance Health Equity. Okay. The plan aims to prioritize and integrate the voices and ideas of racial minorities, women, LGBT people, etc., through steps like mandatory anti-racism, structural competency, and equity explicit training, ensuring just representation of minorities in medical school admissions and hospital leadership ranks, and acknowledging and repairing past harms committed by institutions. So the Marxists have infiltrated the AMA, and the AMA has allowed the Marxists under the wire through the gates. And so the Marxists are going to remake medicine in their image. Health equity, what does that mean? Structural competency, equity explicit training. Just representation of minorities in medical school admissions, what does that mean? That means unqualified people will get into medical school because of the color of their skin. And just representation in hospital leadership. That means unqualified people will be in charge at the hospital because of the color of their skin. This is the American Medical Association, not the American Witch Doctor Association. This isn't the American Reiki Association. It's not the American Acupuncture Association. This is the American Medical Association. So medicine as we knew it is over. And it didn't start with critical race theory. It started with the spastic, hysterical abandonment of responsibility by almost every doctor in the country, which left the gate open. Now that you're a bunch of superstitious witch doctors, now the critical race theory can just step right in and further destroy Western medicine. This article from the Federalist, I'll link to it, the AMA. Well, believe it or not, in the 1950s, the American Medical Association helped defeat a government-run socialized healthcare insurance scheme. The communists tried to institute government health insurance in the 1950s, and the AMA stood up against it and won. In 1965, the American Medical Association opposed Medicare. Why? They foresaw that the government would eventually control the practice of medicine. And the AMA in 1965 remembered that it was doctors who regulate the practice of medicine, and they did not want to hand that over to the government. But all that changed after the passage of Medicare. As the American Medical Association and their members became more dependent on government-generated income, the AMA became more and more political. And by 1969, the American Medical Association, which had stood alongside Hippocrates for 2,500 years against the killing of innocent children by abortion, by 1969, they issued a resolution calling for the repeal of laws against abortion. Now, that resolution was opposed at the time, 1969, by the House of Delegates of the American Medical Association. And the House of Delegates described that resolution as extreme. But just 6 months later, the AMA reversed its position, allowing physicians to kill the unborn with the assent of the American Medical Association. And the descent into darkness has spiraled and continued. By 2009, the AMA agreed to support Obamacare. In 2021, the AMA issued an edict supporting the practice of genital mutilation on minors who reject their biological sex. So the AMA has now endorsed transgenderism. So the AMA endorsed the greatest episode of malpractice in the history of medicine when they went along with the lockdowns. They told their members to acquiesce to the command of one doctor who never examined one of their patients. And in doing so, the American Medical Association, along with the National Institutes of Health and the Infectious Disease Outfit and the WHO and the CDC, effectively destroyed Western medicine. An edifice that was built over the course of 2,500 years was destroyed in the course of a summer because of this massive loss of moral courage and moral certitude. Why is it that medicine is no longer sure of itself? Why is it that doctors are no longer confident to practice medicine? Could it be that they've become so corrupt? Could it be that there's so much blood on their hands that they can't look in the mirror with any confidence any longer? Well, listen to this from Town Hall. Dr. Anthony Fauci's office awarded the University of Pittsburgh $61 million of over $100 million they received from the National Institutes of Health for research that included attaching the scalps of aborted fetuses onto the backs of lab rats. An experiment... This is from the Fauchenstein file. Frankenstein has been superseded by Fauchenstein. So this Town Hall article... This is how far we've fallen. This Town Hall article is criticizing the way Fauci and the University of Pittsburgh used the bodies of murder victims because they did it in violation of state laws. Why is that? It's because we have laws on the books on how we use the bodies of murder victims in scientific research. So just let that sink in for a minute. We have laws on the books to regulate how we use the body parts of the people we murdered for scientific experiments to make us feel better and look better and be healthier. We have rules on the books, and Anthony Fauci and the University of Pittsburgh and the abortionists violated those rules on how we butcher people and use their bodies. And that's what Town Hall is upset about. They violated the rules. That's what David DeLeiden is upset about, that they violated the rules on how we butcher people and use their bodies in scientific experiments. The doctors, according to Town Hall, would have needed to use illegal partial birth abortions. And the consent forms that were filled out are almost certainly invalid through fraudulent omission. See, we're not following the rules on how we chop the babies up and use their scalps and stitch them onto mice. The scalping and the stitching would be okay, apparently, if we did it according to the rules. Well, I don't consent to the killing first. So all of the rules that you have after that, they are invalid because of the killing. It's the murder that's the problem. It's not how you worded the consent form. It's not how you extracted the head of the person you were about to murder. It's not about all that. It's about the fact that you murdered them. And because our medical establishment is complicit in the murder of 100 million people, so the 100 million that I'm worried about, I just realized they've already been murdered. The 100 million that I'm afraid that the critical race theory and the transgenderists and all the tyrants that I'm worried about, the murdering 100 million people, they've already murdered their 100 million. And the reckoning is coming for that. And it won't be 100 million. It'll be a billion or more. Because the blood cries out from the ground to the living God. And God has built a system. God has built corrective judgment into the system. So you can't murder a billion people, which we've done, by the way, legally since the 1950s. Countries and governments around the world have consented to and been complicit in the murder of a billion people. So what is going to be the reckoning for that? Well, I'm afraid it's upon us, and I'm afraid it's going to be terrifying. Do I want to do any... I don't want to talk about the rules about murdering and chopping up babies. But a town hall does report that since at least 2016, the University of Pittsburgh has been granted over $1 million and is a distribution hub for aborted fetal body parts. It's a distribution hub. Why? Because medical research is now based on using the body parts of murdered people for their medical experiments. That's what our entire medical industry now hangs on that. And so because of that, it's being taken away from us. And not magically and mystically by an angry God who wants to disrupt our scientific progress, but because of the nature of nature and because of the nature of man and because of the way God made things, you can't do that and get away with it. And so we will go from the most advanced medical system on the planet that was on the verge, I believed 2 years ago, I firmly believed that modern medicine would cure most cancers in my children's lifetime. I truly believe that as I watched the advent of immunotherapy. I no longer believe that because that is going to be taken away from us and is going to be replaced with Dark Ages superstition and a descent into the theater of the absurd. And absurdity at its end is chaos. It's bloodshed. It's murder. It's man's inhumanity toward man. And that's what we will be given in place of the promise of what used to be called medicine. Now, let's go to the Queering of America file where... A transgender BMX freestyle rider named Chelsea says that his goal, I'm confused. Let's see, if it's named Chelsea, that means it's a boy, right? If it was Charlie, we would know it was a girl, but it's Chelsea. So Chelsea says, quote, "My goal is to win the Olympics so I can burn the American flag on the podium." Uh-huh. He is a U.S. Olympic BMX team alternate. Okay, so first of all, we've got a he who's actually a Well, we've got a she who is actually a he who tried to make the BMX freestyle team on the Olympics, and he only made it as an alternate. So, okay. So a boy makes it as an alternate, meaning the other girls beat him. So there's probably no need for a fire extinguisher to be on hand at the medal ceremony if the he-she only made it as an alternate. That means some of the other girls who beat him would have to break their knee or something. By the way, why do so many trannies go with Chelsea? What's the deal with that? How come the boys who transition to girls, how come they go with Chelsea? Does that have anything to do with Chelsea Clinton? Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to denigrate Chelsea Clinton. But, you know, her mother and father are largely responsible for the advent of the queering of America. And maybe that's like an honorarium given to Chelsea, that all the boys who want to become girls, they go with Chelsea. I don't know. All right. all right. So that's it. I really can't do any more. I want to thank you all for joining me. It's been an experience to one degree or another, I guess. I want to thank my friends at American Right to Life and the Personhood Alliance and Real Science Radio, and of course my other brother Darryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studio. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.